everyone, and welcome back to the MLS Multiplex Podcast. It's been a while. We took a brief hiatus, so we're coming back. My name is Jordan Jacobson, contributor and cover for Real Salt Lake, and here I am tonight with Scott Baylor. How are you, man?
Good. I'm here as a contributor as well. I cover the Portland Timbers primarily. I'm located in Richmond, Virginia.
There you go. And I'm a terrible host because I didn't even clarify how to say your last name, so I hope I said that right.
It's Beeler, but that's all right. Everybody gets it wrong.
Beeler. There we go. So, but yeah, man. So let's hear a little bit. So you cover the Timbers for MLS Multiplex, but you live in Virginia. So let's hear that story about how that happened.
Yeah, basically what it comes down to is I had a mutual friend with a girl that I'd been watching soccer with. Her name's Ellen, and she basically texted me one day and said, "Hey, you know, I noticed you don't really have an MLS team that you follow. Have you watched the Timbers at all?" And I had tried watching the Columbus Crew because I'm originally from Cincinnati, and I tried watching DC United because I live in Richmond, and I just, you know, I never really felt it. And she said, "You know, I think you might want to give the Timbers a shot." So I said, "Okay, fine." So I started watching and was immediately hooked. Something about the Timbers Army, you know, I know everybody says that they've got the best supporters group in the land, but as a then objective watcher of the league, I think it pretty well goes to the Timbers. So from there on, I was hooked. I attended my first Timbers away day at DC United the next year, and actually wound up getting to go to the MLS Cup final against Columbus.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool. That's going to be a cool one to go to. Especially since the Timbers won.
Yeah.
Fun for you. Probably wasn't fun for most people in the stands that day. So
that's all right.
But hey, it happens, right? It happens.
Yep. They finally got their revenge.
So they're not doing too bad, and neither are the Timbers. But we'll get into that here in a little bit. So I guess briefly, we'll just touch base on what's going on last week. We really want to focus on what's coming up this coming weekend. So, you know, just quick hits. So last week, New York Red Bulls, Toronto FC 1-1, the TFC and their 6-game winning streak, which they were going for 7. I was kind of pulling for them, you know, but whatever. But then your Timbers, man, facing the Impact 4-1. What happened there?
Well, it basically comes down to individual defensive errors. You know, obviously, I think Montreal were gifted a bit of an early penalty. But, you know, when you give the ref the opportunity to make a decision, there's a chance he gets it wrong. And even down 1-0, I felt like we were doing okay. And then, of course, Diego Chara comes across and just slaps Piatti across the face. So down a man, down a goal. Not looking very good, but the half ends 2-1. And it looks all right. But like I said, this comes down to defensive errors just on an individual basis, which are a large part of the last 7 or 8 goals that the Timbers have actually conceded. Liam Ridgewell steps up on the third goal of the game, or the third Impact goal of the game, and pulls the entire defense out of whack, which was pretty well the nail in the coffin. So, you know, hopefully they can do a little bit better at the weekend.
Hey, you know, there's always a new day. But yeah, like you said, you know, when they give up 4 goals, something's got to be going on. So it is what it is. But anyway, moving on right here. So Philly, you know, 2 all over the Rapids. I saw a thing the other day that Philly, after losing or going winless, I think it was like winless in 6, maybe 7. Mm-hmm. But they set a record for most winless games that they've ever had. And now they've strung together the longest winning streak they've ever had. We'll get into that here in a little bit, as they're going to face my Real Salt Lake, who lost on the road to the Seattle Sounders 1-0. Not going to talk a lot about it because, you know, a deflection is where we lost. Other than it was just kind of an ugly game. But what can you do? So moving on, DC United lost to Chicago Fire 1-0. Vancouver got the best of Sporting Kansas City 2-0, and the Revs beat the Columbus Crew 2-1. So, you know, always fun that way. But like I said, we're just going to dive right into next week, trying to look ahead a little bit. Let's just start with our first matchup. And this week's going to be pretty fun because there are a lot of derbies coming this week that I'm really excited for. We'll get into yours a little bit later. But let's just start with not really a derby, but the Crew versus TFC, kind of the heavy hitters in the East. coming right here. So what will you be looking for in this match, or who's something that, or who's someone that you're excited to watch?
I think somebody that's really exciting this year has been Jozy Altidore. Obviously, he's gotten a lot of service from Sebastian Giovinco this year. But Altidore actually leads the team in goals and assists so far. You can say a lot of that comes down to Giovinco being so deadly, but this year I think we may see Altidore really break out of his shell. He's been decent to good most of his seasons in MLS, but I think this is the year that you may actually see Jozy hit his real peak.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He's already got 6 goals this year, like you mentioned. He really has been playing really well. And like you mentioned, Sebastian Giovinco, he also has 6 goals, but he's gonna be out for this. And so it'll be interesting. Altidore is gonna have to lift a little bit of extra weight. But the Crew really have been playing pretty well. I guess the last few weeks they've dropped off a little bit, but I actually expected them to kind of have a rough year this year. Last year they missed the playoffs after, losing to your Timbers in the MLS Cup final, which you were at, as you already mentioned. And last year was rough for them, but they've really come out pretty good this year and strung together a couple wins. And now they've kind of, hit their mid-season stumble. So it'll be interesting to see how they turn it out. I'm actually going to go with Toronto on this one. I think, they're playing at Toronto. Like you said, Altidore, he's playing really well. Outside of their tie against the Red Bulls, that I just think that it's pretty hard to argue that TFC isn't the best team in MLS right now. So it's really hard to pick against them. So I'm gonna go with TFC. Who's your pick?
I got to go with TFC too. At home, they are undefeated in I've lost track. They've got 13 points from their last 5 games, only dropping 2 in their last one. So it's really hard to pick against them, like you said. I was gonna say the same thing. I don't think there's anybody that disagrees that they're one of the favorites for both Supporters Shield and MLS Cup this year.
Yeah, and in fact, if they were in the United States, they'd probably be the favorite for the Open Cup too. But
Right.
that's just one of those things. So they're probably gonna win the Canadian. Well, I guess they did lose in the first leg of the Canadian Cup, so it'll be interesting if they don't end up with the treble that way. But speaking of
Sure.
Canada, we'll move on to the next one right here: Vancouver and DC United. So this one, as far as on paper, not one of the matches maybe we'd be super keen to see. But both of these teams, they've been kind of back and forth. Luciano Acosta, he's a fun player to watch, and then Freddy Montero, he's back in MLS trying to make his mark. And this one will be interesting. It's just kind of hard to predict. This is probably going to be one of those weird MLS matches where, it kind of goes either way. I think I'm going to go with DC United on this one, actually. I know they've been really streaky and back and forth on anything, but I just think that, once Luciano Acosta, gets everything going, then I think they could really make a run back into contention.
I think I gotta go. I'm actually kind of predicting a draw from this one. They're both kind of streaky teams, as you say. Vancouver has 3 wins in their last 5. DC United has 1 win and 1 draw in their last 5. So obviously Vancouver with the better form there, but DC do have the advantage of playing at home.
For sure, for sure. And like you said, it is one of those things. Vancouver's trying to return to the playoffs. Vancouver started the year really, really bad. Got Luciano Acosta, got a little bit better, and then they're in the tank right now. I think they're going to turn it around. I think Vancouver's a good team to do it against, but we'll see. We'll see. Like you said, it's hard to pick against the Whitecaps at home, but I'm going to do it anyway. So moving on to, an Eastern Conference battle. Speaking of streaky teams, these two are just really interesting. Everybody kind of thought the Red Bulls were going to be one of the heavy hitters this year, but they've really struggled. And then the New England Revolution, they started really bad, but they've kind of strung together a couple results and trying to figure everything out themselves. And this is another one that's just really hard on paper to pick if who you're going to go with. So what are your thoughts on this one? Who's someone that you're looking forward to on this match?
I'm gonna go with it's an easy one to go with, but Bradley Reichelt. He is and has been the main man since he showed up in MLS. Geez, it's been several years now. I think 2013, 2012, something like that. And he's done really well this year, even if the rest of his team hasn't been playing well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm actually going to go with Diego Fagundes. So this last week he had the brace to help him get the win. And the thing about New England, they just played Real Salt Lake, I think it was even last weekend, but there was the midweek game in between, and they just rocked Real Salt Lake in the first half. But just when I was doing a little bit of research for them, one of their big things is that they've been rotating. Because they play a diamond, and so but on those front three, they've kind of been rotating between Lee Wynn, Kai Kamara, and Juan Agudelo, and so but basically they've kind of settled a little bit into having Diego Fagundes in the number 10 role, and I really like that. He's been around for a really long time. It's kind of hard to forget he's only like 22 because he's been playing in the league forever,
Right.
and he's really kind of finding his role, hitting his stride that way, and they're playing pretty good right now. So it'll be a fun game to watch. But obviously, at the same time, I'm pretty sure this one, yeah, it's at Red Bull Arena. So I'm not gonna go picking against the Red Bulls at home. That's just something that you just don't do, And so even though I do like the Revolution and how they've played lately, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going with the Red Bulls. So is that
All
your
right.
pick then for sure?
Yeah, I think it is. Unfortunately, the last time that I picked them was when LA ended their unbeaten run. So I'm if there's people out there listening to me and are deciding who to bet on, you may take a second pick.
For sure. Well, if you're betting on MLS, you got some other issues you should probably look into. But yeah, so we'll move on right here. And this one, I'm gonna be honest, this one is really hard for me to talk about as a Real Salt Lake fan. Colorado Rapids versus Sporting Kansas City. And I'm going to be honest, there are probably no other teams in the league that I hate more than these two. So if they could both lose, that would be my preference. But it is what it is. But this one, it's as far as picking a winner, these teams are having polar opposite seasons. Sporting Kansas City, they're up towards the top of the West, and Colorado is rock bottom. In fact, I would even say I think Colorado currently in their current form are the worst team in the league. And so any other result other than Sporting, taking it to Colorado would be a surprise for me. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, there's really not much to talk about on this one. Sporting Kansas City is top of the Western Conference. Colorado's bottom. There's on paper only one way that this turns out, but as we've seen this year already, there have been a number of surprises. But yeah, I'm definitely going with Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, so stranger things have happened, but this is one of those. If you were to bet on MLS, I would strongly urge you to pick Sporting Kansas City, as much as I hate to say it. So, but anyway, moving on right here. Well, so interesting. Minnesota United, one of the weirdest teams in the league, I guess you could say. They're the new guys, one of two new teams, but I don't know, just crazy season so far versus Orlando City, who have actually strung together, a pretty good start this year, but they've also kind of faltered in recent weeks. So what I'm going to watch for, this one's going to be crazy. I've really, really liked watching Minnesota United this year. Obviously, their games are really exciting. They score a lot of goals and they give up a lot of goals, which is kind of
Right.
why there's a lot of stuff that's going on with them. But Christian Ramirez, he's on the verge of getting called up to the US men's national team, maybe for the Gold Cup. Maybe he's gonna have to wait it out till January, but he's been a fun player to watch. But he's also given up two own goals in the last couple of weeks that have cost them a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. Off the top of my head, I don't think he's scored other than scoring for the other team in the last few weeks. That's something he's going to want to turn around. But what about you? Who's someone that you're looking out for in this one?
I got into soccer because I was a big fan of Ricardo Kaká, so he's always got a soft spot in my heart. So I'm going to go with the captain there. Kaká's been the heart and soul since he arrived in Orlando City, and everything flows through him. So I think got to be watching out for him at all times.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, speaking of him, you know, Kevin Molino, one of the other guys that, you know, kind of hit his stride playing next to the Brazilian legend, that I think, you know, a lot of people, speaking of Kaká, I know a lot of people look up the Villa, David Villa, and, you know, you got Pirlo. But I think he just, probably because he's been hurt so much, I think people over, or just underestimate really how good he is. And he really does perform at a high level. You know, he's been coming back.
It really is a shame. It really is a shame because his entire career has been pretty well injury plagued. You know, he was the Ballon d'Or winner, if I'm not mistaken, when he was very young, with AC Milan, and it was, you know, one of the top prospects. Went to Real Madrid and spent a lot of time on the injury table there. So that was really disappointing for me, just as somebody that really liked him as a player and as a person. So to see him start to thrive a little bit in Orlando City has been nice. Although I wish I'd been able to watch him at the highest level for some years more.
Yeah, for sure. He's one of those, you know, once in a lifetime type players. He's probably maybe not, you know, just the legendary. Obviously, he played for Real Madrid, AC Milan, had a pretty prestigious career. But kind of, yeah, just kind of fell through the cracks, just probably due to lack of minutes overall, like you said, because of injury. But he really, you know, he's the highest paid player in MLS, and there is a reason for that. But for him to prove that reason, he has to be on the field. And one of the main benefactors of Kaká, you know, back in the past, like I was saying, was Kevin Molino, who is now the leader of Minnesota United, making their return to Orlando City. But somebody else that I'm excited to see play with Kaká is Kyle Larin. You know, he's the top prospect in MLS right now to move abroad. And, he, you know, speaking of outdoor, Kyle Larin is probably the other striker that's just been really dominating the league. And it'll be interesting to see how he does with Kaká. You know, last year he was really good with him, his rookie season. He was really good with Kaká. But he's been kind of doing everything on his own right now. So if they can get Kaká and Kyle Larin on the same page, Orlando City could be scary good.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So anyway, I'm going to go with Orlando. I don't know if you want to make a formal pick.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I think Minnesota United has been their own worst enemy for most of this season. And with the attacking prowess that Orlando City has, I think that they could, you know, Minnesota United, not Man United, could, you know, has stemmed the flow
same.
Of goals. Basically the same thing. I guess Manchester United was right that there was a copyright issue there. But, you know, Minnesota United seems to have stemmed the flow of goals. You know, they lost 5-1 to the Timbers, 6-1 to Atlanta United, you know, 5-2 to the New England Revolution, 4-2. Or actually, they beat, sorry, your Real Salt Lake 4-2.
Yeah, but don't talk about them. Just jump over that.
But you know, they do seem to have stemmed the flow of goals in the wrong direction for the most part. But I still think that Orlando City's got too much for them.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, they've done well. You know, it's kind of interesting. They kind of reverted back to some of their NASL guys that they brought up with them. You know, Brent Coleman was one of the big reasons that defense has got better. But like you said, they still have a ways to go. They've gotten a lot better, but they still have a ways to go. But anyway, moving on to the next one, they are still doing better than my Real Salt Lake. You know, so we got the Union coming to town. This will be interesting. So the Union, I mentioned before, excuse me, they've been on a nice little run right here. They've played some good soccer. You know, their new designated player, I'm going to just butcher his name, Giuliano Wijnaldum, I think his name is. And so, oh no, it's
Wijnaldum.
Yeah, so he's been pretty good. And then the other new guy, the Harris Medinjanin. So he's been scoring a lot of good goals for him, and they're just playing really good soccer. And so it'll be interesting. I'm just going to take over right here. Real Salt Lake, they're getting healthy, but they still just cannot get out of their own way. You know, against the Sounders last week in the first half, it honestly should have been 5-0 going into halftime. But Real Salt Lake has this guy named Nick Raimondo. A lot of people don't know this, but he's probably the greatest goalkeeper ever to play in MLS. You know, you might want to take note of that. And, you know, he even stopped a PK from Clem Dempsey in this one. And it took a deflection for them to get scored on. But yeah, I think the RSL just really is going through the growing pains, as I mentioned in my article last week. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the Union at home. I'm personally going to pick the Real Salt Lake because I'm a homer. But, you know, I totally understand if people are going to go with the Union. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, Philadelphia have 4 wins in a row. You know, they've picked up 13 points from their last 5. They look excellent. They have finally started to get things to click. It's hard to pick against them, especially since Seattle has been a little bit weak on the attack this year. You know, they haven't been scoring for fun like they have in years past. But the Philadelphia Union are just looking really pretty lethal as a team on the whole right now. So unfortunately, I got to pick against you there and go with the Union.
No, like I said, it totally makes sense. And it doesn't help Real Salt Lake's case that Kyle Beckerman got retroactively suspended for taking a cheap shot against Clem Dempsey. So they're pretty bad without Kyle Beckerman. But I will say there is a silver lining with Real Salt Lake, and it is that the U-20s are playing very well at the World Cup. And, you know, Real Salt Lake has some very, very strong contributors with that team that are gone. So I look forward to them coming back, specifically Brooks Lennon, Danilo Acosta. Aaron Herrera, he's from our academy. He's not on the first team yet. He's also had a kind of a questionable tournament. But more importantly, Justin Glad took the field today. And so that's huge news for Real Salt Lake. He hasn't played a minute for Real Salt Lake this year after having a strong year last year. And he is definitely missed. But anyway, I'll save my rants for another day right here as we're moving on to the next one. New York City FC at Atlanta. You know, and speaking of fireworks, this one definitely could have them because both of these teams have a lot of firepower. So who are you looking forward to in this one?
Actually, one of the things that I've been most excited about with Atlanta has been the arrival of Gerardo Tata Martino as the coach of Atlanta United. You know, this guy managed Barcelona for a couple of years, and you know, it's hard to argue with a pedigree like that. If we're talking specifically on field presence, though, it's got to be Miguel Almirón, who was actually the scorer against the Timbers a couple of weeks back. He managed a hat trick against the Houston Dynamo, who have looked pretty good this year, actually. They are doing, you know, they're second in the West right now. They've conceded 20 goals, but still they look, the Dynamo look like a pretty good team. So the fact that that Atlanta were able to take them, you know, 4-1 was, and with Almirón getting a hat trick there, is pretty impressive.
For sure. Yeah. And they've been kind of streaky too, you know, growing pains as being a new team. I know Joseph Martinez is close. I don't think he's going to play this one, but I know he's close to come back too. And they've been making some impressive strides without him as well. And that is because of Miguel Almirón. So let me ask you this. If you were to start an MLS team today, would you rather have Miguel Almirón as your midfield general or Diego Valeri?
Oh, don't ask me that, man. you know, it's gotta be Valeri for me. You know, Almirón has looked really good this year. There's no denying that. But Diego Valeri just needs a second to punish you, and he can hit you from all over the field. And you know, he's done it in the past. You know, I gotta go with my man.
All right. I won't judge you. I would probably go with Miguel Almirón, but I understand where you come from. I think if you had to start a team building around one of those two, you are in very good shape. We'll just leave it that way. So who's your pick in this one? I actually think playing in Atlanta is going to be huge. NYCFC slammed in the in the Yankee Stadium. I don't think they play very well on the road. They lost to Real Salt Lake at Real Salt Lake just on Wednesday, last Wednesday. And I don't know. I just think that Atlanta, speaking of playing at home, like you said, they really took the Dynamo out to the woodshed last week. The Dynamo are another team that tried to play fast. And I just think that, you know, that Atlanta are just too quick. They have too many weapons to get into a track meet with. And I think it's going to be a long day for NYCFC.
I agree. I think that Atlanta is going to come out on top. I think it's going to be a close game, probably decided by one goal, but I expect both teams to score at least two.
Very cool. Very cool. So that should be an exciting game, as we mentioned before. But moving on to another one that should be good. And speaking of Houston, you know, the Texas Derby right here, Houston versus FC Dallas. And so Houston has really been a surprise team to me. I thought they were gonna struggle, as they typically do. You know, they kind of came on a little bit at the end of last year. I'm blanking on the guy's name right now as I'm thinking of it on the spot. They didn't retain their coach. You know, they brought in Wilmer Cabrera, who had a little bit of experience. And they've done really well this year. They also have a huge contingent of players from Honduras. And that's got a soft place in my heart. I actually lived in Honduras for a little while. That's how I get into soccer. So I've been following Houston pretty close. And they've been playing really well, you know, outside of playing on the road. They've been playing really well, but it's going to be an interesting one right here. Dallas obviously is still one of the best teams in the league. They have weapons all over the field as well, some that are a little bit less known. But this one should be fun. You know, lots of firepower on both sides. I'm going to go with FC Dallas just because I think, you know, with the rivalry match, I think they take it a little bit more personal, and I just feel like they're the better side top to bottom. So what's your pick?
I got to go with Dallas too. I know Dynamo is actually ahead of them in the table right now, but you know, just ahead of them. I think they're ahead on goal differential, but you know, I don't see Houston Dynamo coming out and being able to go to Dallas and get a result. You know, the all time Dallas has 9 wins against the Dynamo, who only have 3 wins in their matchups, 2 draws between the two. But you know, that 9 wins is pretty hard to argue with. And FC Dallas just seem to show up whenever they need to.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. And it's at FC Dallas. So Houston has been pretty horrible on the road, basically the Jekyll and Hyde team. And so, yeah, it's hard not to pick against Dallas. It's hard not to pick Dallas. But, you know, you never know. You never know. So moving ahead right here, we got 2 left. And we'll just touch base on this one right here. The California Clasico, one of the oldest rivalries in MLS, San Jose Earthquakes versus the LA Galaxy. So, Scott, in, you know, 2 minutes or less, why do you hate the Los Angeles Galaxy?
Oh, man, only 2 minutes. You know, they are a team that has been gifted a whole lot of stuff. You know, I know they are a big market club and that they're one of the originals. And so it's good for MLS soccer to see them, or MLS to see them do well. And it feels like everything is handed them on a silver platter sometimes. But, you know, I gotta, you know, credit where it's due. They're one of the best teams, or usually one of the best teams in MLS. So to see them struggling this year has been kind of nice.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I totally agree. And yes, I also hate the Los Angeles Galaxy, probably for the same reasons that you said. And yeah, as a Real Salt Lake fan, you probably get this too. With the Timbers, it just feels like if you are a good team in the West, you are going to run into the Galaxy at multiple points, you know, throughout the season in vital games, definitely in the postseason. And it does get really annoying to lose to them all the time. But that's the thing, is that they do win a lot. So I'm just bitter all the time towards the Galaxy. But
yep,
as you said, they have really struggled this year. San Jose, they've been kind of going off and on. But I love picking against the Galaxy. I'm taking the Earthquakes. You know, it feels like they've had the same team for forever. You know, they're still relying on Chris Wondolowski. And so far, he's been pretty good, at least this year. You know, he's just one of those weird guys that, you know, just somehow finds a way. And hopefully he does it against the Galaxy, because as you said, I love watching them suffer.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to pick against the Earthquakes, I or excuse me, against the Galaxy, I think this one ends up. I think this ends up in a draw. You know, the Galaxy have, I think, turned the corner from their really, really poor start. Romain Alessandrini, I think I got that right, has been a revelation for them.
Yeah, he's been unreal.
And ever since the Van Damme got pulled in one of their games, the LA Galaxy have looked a lot better. But San Jose are really good at home. I think we see this one end up as a multi-score draw.
All right. All right. I like it. I like it. So moving on right here, last game of the week, Cascadia Cup. Portland, Seattle. This one should be fun. You know, basically, you know, the start of the year super hot. They've kind of teetered off a little bit, kind of like, you know, the midsummer stride catches up to you a little bit. Seattle, they're just doing whatever. And then yeah, you know, you know, they're the home team. It doesn't really, I think in this match, you just kind of throw home and away out the window because they're just crazy matches. And this will be fun though. Who so I'll let you take the lead on this one. Portland, what are you looking for?
Well, the real question is who replaces Diego Chara after his suspension this week. And honestly, I'm not sure. Lawrence Olam was brought in on the off season for depth this year. Ben Zemanski has been in and around the Timbers for a number of years now, and Amobi Okugo has been playing for the Timbers, albeit in a limited capacity for the last 2 or 3 years. I think this year, with the addition of David Guzman, the player that gets the nod is probably going to be Ben Zemanski, because he is a little bit more attack-minded than the other two. And Guzman has allowed Diego Char to get forward a little bit more this year. So if Ben Zemanski can have a decent game, I think the Timbers will be all right.
All right. So do you think, so shifting gears here a little bit then with the Sounders. So as you mentioned previously, the Sounders have struggled to score this year. They, after turning things on at the end of last year, they're kind of back to how they were before they fired Ziggy Schmidt and brought in Lodeiro. So do you think they're going to be able to score on Portland in this one, or have the firepower? If this thing turns into a goal fest, can Seattle keep up?
Can they keep up? No, but I do think that they can score. You know, as I said, the last 8 or so goals that the Timbers have conceded have all come down to individual mistakes. And that back line really doesn't have anybody banging down the door to get into the team. You know, there's Roy Miller, Liam Ridgewell, Lawrence Olam was brought in as a defensive midfielder, but has actually started more games as a center back. Alvis Powell is pretty much the only option at right back. There is Zarek Valentin as well. But, you know, the most options are for the most opportunities are for the starters. There's really not a whole lot to choose from when someone turns to the bench on defense. But can they keep up on offense? I don't think so. The Timbers have already shown that when they're on, they have one of the best attacks in Major League Soccer. So yes, the Tim or the Sounders can score, and I think that they probably will score. But if this turns into a goal fest, like you suggest, I think the Timbers actually have a good chance of winning this somewhat handily. And I was a little bit nervous going into this week, thinking about, you know, oh, we're playing really bad right now, and we have to go play Seattle. But I think this might just be the kick in the pants that they need.
Very nice, very nice. And you wrote a really good piece about Alvis Powell just this last week. So you know he's really been kind of struggling, I guess. Well, I'll let you describe it. So he came into the league, he had a great start, and then he really hasn't gone anywhere since that first season. So the last couple games, you know, he got subbed off early against the Impact How do you think he's going to be this week?
Well, he had an assist last week. Obviously,
Oh, I missed that.
last week was a bit of a, a bit of a one-off. But you can only say that so many times before it becomes a trend. I think he does okay this week, and I think that he'll probably start unless he was there were rumors that he had been pulled for an injury. But I haven't heard anything more about that so far. I think Alvis Powell has a lot to him. I think that he's got everything he needs to be one of the best right backs, if not the best right back in MLS. And I actually hope that at some point he really does kick on, because I think there are a lot of leagues that are stronger than MLS that he could take by storm. And that's not to poo-poo on MLS or anything like that, but I want the best for the Timbers players, regardless of whether or not it's for the if they're playing for the Timbers.
Sure, for sure. So it'll be a good one. I'm excited to see how the Sounders do as well. Just a little bit
Yeah.
ago. But the thing about, as I mentioned before, with that first half against Real Salt Lake, they really did come out and just really brought it to us. We went into halftime. They had 80% possession and outshot us 14-1. So as you mentioned previously, they really struggled to score, but it looked like they were about to break through. Luckily, Real Salt Lake weathered the storm a little bit. And then in the second half, Seattle kind of sat back because Real Salt Lake was being a lot more aggressive. But it just shows that they really want to come out and break out of the slump. And they have the pieces. I mean, seriously, they got Clint Dempsey, Jordan Morris, Lodeiro, and who knows who they're going to bring in the summer. They've been linked to Honda and all sorts of different wingers. So it'll be interesting. But I think right now Portland is just a better team. And I'm gonna go with Portland. It's hard to like I mentioned before, it's hard to pick with the road team. But when this at this one, I just think Portland has the better pieces. I know you're going with Portland, so I don't know if you have
Yeah,
any other thoughts that way.
I gotta go with Portland. There's really, as much as I may be superstitious about the fact that I keep picking Portland and they keep losing, it's just not in me to pick against them. I know that in recent years the home teams have typically won in this Cascadia clash. But I think this is the year that we finally break that streak. Last year, each of the home teams won in the in 2016.
Sure. Oh, that's good to know. That is good to know. But I guess the real question I want to know is how bad will the score have to get for Merritt Paulson to start throwing down like Arjen Robben rumors if Portland loses?
It's got to be a blowout. I mean, like, it would have to be like Caleb Porter getting fired level of blowout, and I don't think that's gonna happen at all.
I don't either. I don't even. But I think he's awesome. So,
Yeah.
but anyway, we'll leave it at that. So yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed our quick preview of the next week. We look forward to doing these a little bit more regularly as the time goes forward. Hopefully, we'll both be on here more often or not. But you should be able to see a good handful of our writers and contributors, filtered through the podcast. And yeah, Scott, thanks for being on with me and. Yeah, sharing the time.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
So yeah, see you guys later.